This is CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald, Louis Groenewald, father-son combination. This is a leadership masterclass for the world, in fact. And this is Nelson Mandela country. We do Periscope it. We're exploring with that. We had someone from New Zealand ask us, Dr. Baloyi, who's our special guest today. And before we do the book review, can youth still be successful in South Africa? Obviously, somewhat negative perceptions maybe about where the country is. And I think let's keep it short. Yes, of course youth can be successful in South Africa. There are many successful ones. And this is a fantastic country to be in. Absolutely. So just stay tuned to the show and we'll convince you. Lorraine Tlapolosa, welcome. Give us a book review of this rather small book, eh? Yes. Outstanding Leadership by Stan Tola.
Yes, thank you very much, Adrian. You've said the title. Stan Tola is or was a vice president at John Maxwell's Leadership Institute.
Okay.
He worked with John Maxwell and John Maxwell's father, and he talks highly of them, and he said he's learned so much from both John and his father, and that's where he learned leadership, by observing them, especially the father.
Oh.
So it's a great leadership book. What attracted me to the book more than anything is the title, Outstanding Leadership. And he talks about what makes a leader stand out. That's his main thesis about the book. He says three or four things. One, you define your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You develop your plan and then cast and implement that vision. He says then you have to overcome common leadership challenges, because there are common leadership challenges in every leadership position or role.
Mm.
He then says you have to build strong relationships. Some of the challenges, interesting, that he speaks about is personal agendas as opposed to published agendas. He says normally there'll be a published agenda, but each one comes with his personal or her personal agenda in their, you know, books or tablets or whatever. So it's very interesting. I like the book's humor. It's very humorous. He's got a lot of humor. It's simplified. A lot of concepts on how to develop your vision and how to cast it is very simplified. He also has sidebars that would give examples on, for example, 10 qualities of good leaders, 20 ways of saying thank you to your staff and whatnot. So it's very grouped in that regard. What I didn't like about the book, it's your typical business school academic book. As opposed to the normal books or the books that I've now come to review in this platform that talks a little bit about the people or who you are and what you stand for as a person, as a leader. It focuses on really business school topics, in my opinion, or your MBA topics. So I didn't like that about the book.
Okay.
It's got an academic flair to it. I didn't really like it. But I would recommend the book to young leaders because the principles are simplified. So if you haven't been in leadership or you aspire to be a leader, you'll find the simplicity, I think, very good in terms of how do you create a vision, how do you then develop the plan to implement that vision. That I liked about the book. I would give it a 3.
Oh my goodness. It's out of 10.
5.
Out of 5, yeah. Let's just remember it's out of 5, that's not 10.
Out of 5. I'll give you this. But a great book for really people that have not been, that aspire to be in leadership position. But if you are a mature leader, I think it's a bit too
simplistic, maybe.
Yes, simplistic. For,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lorraine Tlapolosa. We appreciate that. Very good, succinct. We appreciate that. With us, Dr. Danisa Baloyi. A very experienced leader. We first half of this Leadership Masterclass, you can download that podcast. We spoke about, well, we gave some wisdom to youth as we head into Youth Month here in South Africa. But Dr. Danisa Baloyi, where did you grow up? Just tell us just a little bit. We don't want to spend too much time, but just give us a feel for where Dr. Baloyi grew up.
I always say a combination of both rural and urban. I was born in Soweto.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents shipped us also to our grandparents in Limpopo, where we attended we attended school and ended up in a boarding school in Limpopo.
Okay.
So I have both rural and urban.
Big family?
We are a family of 5.
Okay.
And I have 3 sisters and 1 brother. And as we were talking earlier, the emphasis from my father was always education, 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 maybe because he was an educator.
Mm.
And because in those days, he He had 2 degrees when he was under 30 during apartheid times.
Wow.
And he said, if I could get that, you guys can do that. And so
you had to trump him and go all the way.
Yes. So there was always that thing. What I liked about him is that he never chose for us what to do.
Okay.
My brother is a town planner. My sister is an attorney. And I regard myself as someone in education, stroke business. My other sister is in the medical field, and the youngest is in sports. She works for Denny Jordan. But never chose for us what to do. So I think that was important grounding.
Okay.
for us. You know, at an early age, if you came to our dinner table, you will think that it's a war zone, because my father would always come up with a topic that will make us debate.
Okay.
And
consciously, he did.
Yes.
That.
And he said, when we're debating, there's no father, there's no mother, there are no children, there are just ideas. So nobody is constrained in terms. All he wanted was respect during the discussions, but didn't constrain it by saying, you can't say that because you are younger and I'm older, so I have a monopoly of ideas. Mm. And I think that's shaped who I am today, and it gets me into trouble, and I guess I'm known for my big mouth, but I believe that if you have an idea, you have to espouse it, and if you believe in it and you are proven wrong later, have the humility to say I was wrong.
I think it was Jack Walsh who said any good idea must be able to withstand rigorous debate.
Absolutely.
And stand up.
Yes, so that was our family.
Okay.
And
that's good background, yeah.
Yes, and then with my grandparents, my grandfather was an educator, but also an entrepreneur of note. When we were growing up, he was making coffins, distributing them all over Limpopo. He manufactured the coffin that buried King Sekhukhune, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he had a taxi business. My grandmother was an entrepreneur. Every morning, there were loads and loads of stuff that went to everywhere for stuff that she baked overnight to be sold. So I guess that's where one gets the flair for entrepreneurship.
I mean, that's a fantastic, rich background, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever grow up thinking you would become as prominent as you have in the country here, or did you have ambitions to become prominent? What drove you?
No, I think I became prominent by default. If I am. You know, what drove me is the truth. I mean, in high school already, by the time June 16 happened, the school where I went to, at boarding school, Lemana High School in Limpopo, a boarding school, we already demonstrated against using Afrikaans versus English. Why not both? You know, things like that. And I always fought against things that were not right.
Where were you during June 16? Just give us some context.
I was already at the University of Zululand.
She was just out of school.
No, University of Zululand. And we had a big protest. And you know, and at the end of the day, they closed the university.
Mm.
And then I came back home. By the following year, I was doing second year then. And by the following year, when 77, I had to go back to school at the University of Zululand. They said, no, you can't come back here. You are a troublemaker. So I went to the University of the North. The University of the North said, we can only admit you on condition you start from course one, because we cannot accept your courses from the University of Zululand. We are not supposed to take the kids who rioted at this.
Wow.
And I went back home. My father said, pride comes before a fall. You are too young. Go back and start from scratch. And I did. You know what happened in 77? The University of the North was closed.
Oh,
so 3 years of my life was down the drain.
My goodness.
I don't, you don't fail, but you don't progress. But it never, I always listened, had my father's words ring in my pride comes before I fall. Go back. So I went back, finished the degree. But, you know, I was always driven. I mean, I was always involved in various things. I once left the University of the North. I came back for a weekend. Came back, they had raped a student, gang raped a student. I wasn't even there, but I led the march to go and demonstrate at the men's section of the. Why? We are supposed to be all students of the University of the North. Why rape one of us? And so those are the things that sort of centered around my life. I just don't like injustice. So, and speak against it, take action. And then ultimately I went to the United States for school. Mm. And when I got there, I like saying this because, as you know, our universities were segregated then. And there was always this belief that if you are black, you are inferior, and if you are white, you are superior. And we always demonstrated we all the same. You started the conversation that way. We all the same. Intelligence is not race based. Mm. Either you are just dumb or you are you are smart. That's just
talent,
or you don't.
Talent, yeah,
so, but I'll tell you how psychologically it can work at you. I went into my first class at Columbia University, and I was the only black student in that particular class.
And that's not just any university. For those who don't know, it's an Ivy League university.
Yes.
Top five in the U.S.
Yes.
Only black person in the class.
In that particular class.
Class, yeah.
And then when we wrote the first assignment, I was the only one with an A plus.
Oh, really?
And it shocked me to say, my gosh, but at the same dispelled the myth. You know, wow. I was grateful. But the very fact that I sat in that class and actually thought, maybe I will not do as well with... And there was someone with a D minus, excuse me. But we need to get rid of that whole psyche. And as Biko once put it, whether it's inferiority complex or a superiority complex, it's a pathology. We have to get rid of it. Mm. And we have to work at it every day.
So even you who grew up in a very interesting background,
yes,
very intellectual, yes, academic family,
yes,
you sat there overseas in Columbia University, and you had the slight turmoil inside of you.
Yes.
Saying,
maybe I may not be good enough.
I know I'm intellectually bright.
Yes.
But gosh, maybe not.
Maybe not.
And I guess the A+.
But that thing dispelled the myth once and for all.
For you and maybe others, eh?
And for others.
Yeah.
And then the teacher actually said, I remember Professor Rosen said, and you thought she's from Africa. You know, and look, she got the best mark in that, and it changed a lot of things. But every time we always demonstrated and said, we are the same, but deep down, maybe that was not the case. I wasn't even aware of it.
Why did you come back? So you went to Columbia,
yes,
great,
and then finished, and then I worked at the United Nations Development Fund for Women. And that's what I want to say to young people. When I was at the United Nations, I worked as an intern at the UN, started there, ended up being a consultant. And when I walked into that, I woke up one day, and I said to the woman at the Africa section of what is today UN Women, and I said, I'm Danisa Baloyi, are you going to give me an opportunity? I remember that woman was Dr. Pala Okeyo. She said, who are you? And I said, no, I'm interested in what you are doing. Can I be given a chance? I can file, I can do anything, but I want to know what you do because you are development. And she said, I had the Africa section. You can start now.
Oh, nice.
You know, so, but it's initiative.
Yeah.
I walked into that, but I worked for the African American Institute. I worked for Africa. I worked for different institutions, and I worked for a small consulting company called Idea Consultants in New York. And that way you pick up the experience. So by the time I came back to South Africa, I had gathered experience from various institutions, and I could firmly say I'm a management consultant by training, because I had had to do it to succeed. So people might not know, and my mentor in the United States, going back to where you started, our children want to have two cars, whatever, at the same time. Mm. He grounded me, and that's why things don't bother me. Mm. I don't believe in accumulation.
That's power.
Yes.
If you can get that.
Yes, and he said, he was a multi-billionaire. He said, you can only live but in one house at a time, drive but one car at a time, wear but one suit and one pair of shoes at a time. I'm saying this to you, that you need to be focused and plan as to what you want to do in life. And he drove a Chevy.
There's great examples like that in this world of ours that's actually very, very materialistic as well. Okay, Dr. Blois, fast forward. We have just a few minutes left. I know
yes.
you're very involved on NEDLAC. You're involved on boards.
Yes.
You're connected on various levels all over society.
Yes.
You're not just one-track minded, just yeah. in politics or just in business. Yeah. So let's assume those who want to study up on you, they're welcome. They can go and Google you.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're a woman leader of experience.
Yes.
So give us your view for a minute on transformation in South Africa. How are we doing? Of course, under that, there's triple BEE, there's
yes.
industrialization, there's racial relations.
Yeah.
Just your overall take on how are we doing? Where are we?
I think we're doing well, and we're not doing so well. Mm. I think we could do much more. And I think grounded in our not doing so well is that we believe if we develop more, we're taking from one and not believe that we're growing the cake. Mm. South Africa has so much that has not been actualized. And if we open our eyes and our minds to understand that if we don't develop those many youths that are roaming the streets to give them an opportunity, we are in deep trouble. We need to do that. And I believe that we can unleash some of the money that we're sitting on as South Africa to help progress those activities and be bold. There's an initiative now between government and business for $1.5 billion. You can't sneer at it, is the beginning, but is it even enough?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually money that gets given to one project, and we're saying we want to develop small business across the nation.
Yeah.
We've got to think closely and bigger around that. I believe that if we continue to ignore women as a base in this country, particularly black women, there are so many with various degrees, but they're at home, no jobs, because the society still doesn't accept them as talent. And those who are in positions now, they find themselves as an accessory. They're not central in decision making. And I'm saying, let's trust each and every skill in this country. Let us build a South Africa that will make a difference. And we can do that. We must just give. It starts with an opportunity.
Mm.
It starts with an opportunity. And some of our young people might say, I have 2 degrees, I have 3 degrees, I have an MBA, I have a BCom, I have a master's in economics, and say I must start at the top. Sometimes it starts not so far. When I worked at the UN asking to be an intern, I had 2 master's degrees already.
From not just any university.
Yes, I had 2 master's degrees already, but I was willing to put my foot in the door. Mm. And that foot in the door opens so many doors for me.
Dr. Baloyi, we're at the end, and I want you to think while Louis maybe just summarizes. Just a final short message to leaders out there in South Africa.
Yes.
You can consider the younger leaders, but it doesn't matter. But before we get there, Louis, any final comments before we wrap up?
I just love the spirit of our discussion, Arjun. The way she summed up, what she's just saying really is people, we need to make a lot of changes, but don't rely on a spirit of entitlement. Hard work is a wonderful asset with the attributes she mentioned, and then you break down these barriers one after the other. From leadership point of view, though, we must understand that accountability for your own ability, our time and effort, rests with us, not with anybody else as well.
Thank you, Louis. Dr. Baloyi, final message to leaders.
Final message to leaders is that to us, leaders all matter. And leaders will make mistakes. I sure have made a fair share of my mistakes. But it's learning from those mistakes that makes you a better person. And also understanding that when you are a leader, you represent more than yourself. Mm. And that you need to be responsible. Leadership comes with responsibility. So if people give me that honor of a consideration that I might be a leader, I must strive on a daily basis to do the best I can. And that's all I can do. Mm. Lead as best as I can.
Thank you so much. Dr. Denisa Baloyi, wow, an hour goes fast, eh?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming and imparting your wisdom and your thoughts and feelings. And there's the first half hour, which is a master lesson, which was really directed at the youth as we head into the month of June. And I think we have a lot for them to think about there. That's one podcast. And then the second podcast is your journey, a little bit more about that. And some really valuable gems came from that, I believe. I want to end off with what we call a Sibanye Executive Leadership Inspirational Thought. And it's a simple statement that I picked up on the weekend, and I did a periscope on it. People seem to like it. If you don't like where you are, move. You are not a tree.
Absolutely.
It's a powerful principle. And I want to say, if you don't like who you are,
change it.
You know, we can do that as human beings. We can change if we don't like who we are. And we can move if we don't like where we are. And the principle I attached to that was, it's a simple yet sometimes difficult truth. What a privilege to be able to move and use our power of choice to be happy or to be unhappy.
Yes.
And it's up to us as human beings. In the end, we are where we are out of choice, because we can choose to go if we don't like it there. And in the end, we are what we are because of choice as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad truth and sometimes a joyous truth. Right, that's it. Our Leadership Masterclass is over. I look forward to being with you again next week. But next up, our Business Masterclass. And I'm quite excited about that. It's in association with USB Ed. Richard Angus will come in with Belinda Wagner from USB Ed. And it's all about customer delivery models, how to retain customers. That's going to be the conversation. So we're looking forward to that. So stay with us. Next up, business skills conversation.
This is CliffCentral.com.